Okay, there is an institution of Egla Arufa. What is Egla Arufa? Only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Only applies in Eretz Yisrael if you find a person who was murdered, a Jewish person who was murdered. Lo no dami hikahu. We don't know who killed him. So you have to get the members of the Bezen HaGadol to measure. You have to leave the dead body. Usually this is then you have to bury the person right away. Because it's a bizoyan on mace to leave the mace. But in the days, years ago, they didn't have any telephones, they didn't have any telegraphs. Until they're going to notify the Bezen HaGadol in Yerushalayim that someone was murdered, it could take a long time till they're going to send Bezen HaGadol, send representatives to measure it, to do the medida, to measure to the cities. The Ir HaKreiv HaLachalol has to bring the Egla Arufa. So the din is you have to measure from the dead body. You have to leave the body till the Bezdin comes to measure. Once you establish which is the closest city, that city has the chiyuv to bring Egla Arufa. Tosfos quotes the din that Yerushalayim doesn't bring an Egla Arufa. Where's that Tosfos? Yeshev is Bein Aharim. Yeah, the Tosfos Dimar Masch Anchof Gimel Amen Beis B'Yoshev is Bein Aharim. So Tosfos quotes the Gemara Sof Perek Meruba. The end of Perek Meruba, the Gemara has a Brisa, Asara Dinim Nemba B'Yerushalayim. All the various Dinim about Yerushalayim. There's a Machlekes HaTanoim Dinim, but Yerushalayim Nischal Kal Shvatim, or Yerushalayim Lo Nischal Kal Shvatim. Means in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, when they it took 7 years, Shebesh and Kopshu. It took 7 years to conquer all the Lamad Aleph Malachim and Eretz Yisrael. Then it took Shebesh and Chilku. It took 7 years. The Chalukah was the Gemara of the Kibush, and the Kibush was the Mikadosh of Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael didn't get the Kedusha Rishayna. That's called Kedusha Rishayna. The days of Yeshua Ben Nun. Kedusha Shniyah is in the days of Ezra. When Ezra came back, Ezra and Nehemiah came back after the 7 years ago, it was Babel. That would be Mikadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time around. Tosfos in Yevamos quotes one of the earlier Rishonim, Rabbi Hananel, who says that Kedusha Rishonim was in the days of Avraham Avinu. So Tosfos says that usually they have such respect for the Rabbi Hananel, called Dvaru Dibur Kabbalah, he has all the traditions, but over here they say he can't accept it at all. Kedusha Rishonim was in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. So the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael was the Kibush, and the Chalukah was the Gemar HaKibush. So they made a Chalukah. Made a chalukah l'shvatim, and Yerushalayim was divided. Half of Yerushalayim is bechelka shal Yehuda, half of Yerushalayim was bechelka shal Binyamin, because Yerushalayim has a double status. The Gemara has, in the very end of Sanhedrin, the Gemara has machlekes abyechem Reish Lakish. The very end of Sanhedrin, you have the Mishnah about Ir Nidachas. So there, in that Gemara, Ir Nidachas, Gemara has machlekes abyechem Reish Lakish. Machlekes once in the history of the world. Maybe the most HaMashiach will be again a machlokes. When you draw the border between one Shevet and the other, it doesn't make sense to draw the line, the border, dividing a city in half. You say, Cholkim Erachas L'Shnei Shvatim, or Ein Cholkim Erachas L'Shnei Shvatim. Machlokes Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So Tosfos on the side of the Gemara, they have a tiny Tosfos, Tosfos Yishanim. Tosfos Yishanim says that this, they all agree, Yerushalayim was divided. Half of Yerushalayim was Shevet Yehuda, half was Shevet Binyamin. Because Yerushalayim al-Pidin is the capital of Eretz Yisrael, even before the Congress, even before the American government put the embassy there. Yerushalayim al-Pidin is the capital. And Lo-Yosu Shevet Yehuda, the government has to be, the Melech has to be from Shevet Yehuda. So the capital has to be in Shevet Yehuda. And Yerushalayim is al-Pidin, the Mokam HaMikdosh. And the Mizbeach has to be Bechal Kushal Ben Yamin. Also Psukim in Chumash. Bechal Kushal Ben Yamin. So Yerushalayim has to have Bechal Kushal Yehuda for the government, Bechal Kushal Ben Yamin for the Beis HaMikdash. But the Gemara has a Machlok Satanai, whether Yerushalayim, they all agreed Yerushalayim was in Bechal Kushal Shvatim. Half was Yehuda, half was Ben Yamin. But it's a Machlok, did they own the bailus of the city of Yerushalayim, or is it just the Chal Hashem? This is called Chelko Shal Yehuda. That's called Chelko Shal Binyamin. all everything else, once they declared this is Chalkei Shel Yisachar, this is Chalkei Shel Zvulun, so it belonged to Shevet Zvulun. And then they drew lots and they established who gets, they divided the Mishpachas and then they divided the Yechidim. Each and every individual person owned his own area in Eretz Yisrael. But the Shaila is on Yerushalayim, maybe Yerushalayim Al Pidin was never in Ischalka L'Shvatim, the ownership. It was Nischalka that is called Chelka Shayud, Chelka Shabinyamin. But is it Nischalka with respect to ownership or not? So we pass Yerushalayim, not Nischalka L'Shvatim. Why? Not because it's the capital, but rather because it's the Makam HaMikdash. Because the Psukim say we should build the Beis HaMikdash B'Makam Rashiv Hashem Mikol Shiv Techem. Has to belong to all of the Shvatim. So how can it belong to all the Shvatim? The answer is, Eretz Yisrael belonged to Avraham Avinu, was kind of Eretz Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu told him, Kol Yisalach Barat L'Orkel L'Roch B'Kilu Chay Tineno. So he was kind of all of Eretz Yisrael. When he died, it went to Yitzchak. When he died, it went to Yankov. When he died, it went to the Shvatim. So then, before the Meida Chalukah, in the days of Yishuv Binu, all of Eretz Yisrael belonged to Klal Yisrael, like a corporation, everything, like a Yorshim, Kodim Chalukah. Tfusas Habayis belongs to everybody. It's different from Shutfas, different there are Mishnayis and the end of Chorus, where let's say two people join together to make a Shutfas, that's Shutfas. I own 50%, you own 50%. And if a father dies and he leaves a Yerusha, he leaves a house for two brothers, so that's a Tfusas Habayis. It's not that each one owns 50%. They both own the estate together. It's a different, there are differences in halacha. It's a different kind of a bailos. So then when they made the chalukah, then it was no longer a tfusas habay. So that's a shaila. Yerushalayim, the mokam amigdash has to belong hamokam shivch Hashem mikol shivtechem. How do you accomplish that it should be mikol shivtechem? So we assume la halacha, that Yerushalayim, they knew from day number one, days of Yishuv Binun, when they were making, wasn't day number one, is towards after the first Shevet Shekavshut, then there was Shevet Shechilku. When they were dividing, they divided Yerushalayim, half Chalka Shal Yudah, half Chalka Shal Binyamin. Okay, the Mizbech is going to be Bechalka Shal Binyamin, not Bechalka Shal Yehuda. But then we assume La Halacha, that's as far as it went. Just they labeled this area Chalka Shal Yehuda, they labeled that Chalka Shal Binyamin, but the rest of Yerushalayim, the ownership was not given to Shevet Yehuda, Shevet Binyamin. It belonged to Klal Yisrael, because that's supposed to be Amokam Shev Hashem. The other Tanaim disagree, and they said Yerushalayim was Nischalka L'Shvatim, and that section belonged to Yehuda, that section belonged to Binyamin. But the Beis HaMikdash has to be Mikol Shivtechem. So the Pasuk says in Tanakh that they raised money from all the Shvatim and they paid Yehuda and Binyamin that the Beis HaMikdash should be built in the area that belongs to everybody. They bought it up. And we paskin that that's not good enough to collect money and to buy Gurin Aranine, Gurin Aravna Hayivusi. That's not enough to collect money. That doesn't make a Mikol Shivtechem. Mikol Shivtechem, because it was never divided the Shvatim. So the Gemara has a whole bunch of dinim that depend on Amokam Shivchash Adomisha Shamakach Nasanochal Lirishto. Whenever the Pasuk in Chumash has a din, take for example Tzaraz Batim. So the din of Tzaraz Batim only applies in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz, and only applies if the house has private ownership, if it belongs to somebody. But since Yerushalayim is Chalka L'Shvatim, nobody has any private ownership there. It belongs to all of Klal Yisrael, so it doesn't have din of Tzaraz Batim. A whole bunch of dinim that don't apply. So one of the many dinim is the din of Egla Arufa. Din of Egla Arufa doesn't apply. So the Pasuk says you have to measure, so only Egla Arufa only applies in Eretz Yisrael. And only applies to an Irshi, Tosfos quotes the Mishnah, Irshi Yesh Bobesna, because it talks about Zikne Hoyer Hahi. You have to have an Irshi Yesh Bobesna. How much of the Besna? So the Rambam says the Besna of Chav Gimel. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Shev Shmaitzer points out that Rashi doesn't agree. I think Rashi and Saita holds that it's enough if you have a Besna of 3 smuchim. You don't need a Besna of 23. The Rambam holds, the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, that the whole idea behind the mitzvah, Vegla Rufa, you should do something strange, so this will draw attention to the murder, and maybe someone will step up and notify the police. Of they'll give the police some tips, and they'll be able to catch the murderer. It's just a gimmick in order to... Sometimes on the radio, they say the police are asking for information. Whoever knows anything about it, there was a murder on the subway or in the street, whatever. Whoever knows, he can call this number, and you don't have to identify yourself. They won't tell anybody who you are. So the Rambam says that's what Egla Rufa is all about. Just that the people should be aware that there was a murder, and people should step forward and tell the police whatever information they know. Okay. So that's why the Rambam holds that it depends on the Bez Nachav Gimel, because the whole purpose of the Egla Rufa is to try to identify who the murderer is, and try to bring him to justice. If you bring him to justice, you're going to need a Bez Nachav Gimel. That's called the Sanhedrin Tana, Bez Nachav Gimel. The Rashi holds, no, Zikne Hirahi, it's enough of Bez Nachav 3. Yeah. So the Pasuk says you measure to the cities closest to the Cholol, and then the Yirah Kroiv al Cholol has to bring the Egel Arufa. What is that all about? So this Gemara, on this Daf Chav Gimel on Beis, the Gemara assumes that it's because we assume that it's Mevarer, where the murder came from. You take a look, the two Taisusin, with the same Dibra Maschel on this Daf, on Chav Gimel on Beis, Bidaleka. So in the first Tosis, Bidaleko, they write, Hocha Mashma, the time of the Yirah Kroivah, the Yegla Rufa, Mishum, the Mitoch HaKurva, since it's the Yirah Kroivah, Muchach, it appears, that's a Hechocha, that's a Birur, Shemisham Bo HaHorek. So Tosis has a Kasha, how do you deal with the Gemara in Soita? Ube Soita, Tanya, Minayin, Shem Nimtza, Samach Liyir Sheim Bo Beznin, Shem Menicham Oseh, you don't measure to when Yir Sheim Bo Beznin. You only measure the day that you find the cholol. The Menachas Chinuch talks about this. Let's say they find a dead person, someone was murdered close to this city, and there's no bezn over there. So then 30 years later, they'll make the city will become bigger, and they'll establish a Sanhedrin Tana there. So 30 years later, they bring the Egla Rufa. Pashup Shati thinks that not. It depends whether Yesh Ba Bezn at the time of the Medida. When you make the Medida, you measure to the cities in the neighborhood. So you only measure to the Yesh Yesh Ba Bezn. If the day that they found the Horik, the day, the week, the 2 weeks later, whenever the Shluchei Bezn HaGadol come to this area, and they measure to the cities of Krev HaLachol, if at that time there is a Bezn, and then they don't get around to bring the Egla Rufa till 30 years later, and then there's no longer a Bezn, so that's a Machloikis in the Gemara, whether the Bezn is Ma'akev or not. But at the time of the Medida, it is Ma'akev. That's the Brisa in Soita that Tosis quotes. He only measures Emodid the Melaliyah, she is for Bezn. You have a lot of dinim in Chumash. You have a lot of dinim. So sometimes, a lot of details in every mitzvah. So sometimes the details are miyakev, sometimes the details are not miyakev. In a mitzvah, sometimes you have a mitzvah, Shleim Mus says, if you do all the details. And if you don't do all the details, sometimes you become the mitzvah, Shalom, Shleim Mus says, sometimes you're not become the mitzvah at all. So the Gemara discusses what's miyakev, what's not miyakev. So this story with the Bezdin, so the Bezdin, Irshiyesh, but Bezdin, that's miyakev with respect to the Medida. That's what Tosfos quotes. I moided in my little ear, sheyesh ba bezdin. But then the besof lemaisa, when you bring the egel arufa, that's a machlokes amaroi, whether the bezdin is ma'akev or not. So Tosfos has a kasha that, and they don't have a teretz. This is a murderous kasha. It says, "In nimsa samach liyir sheim ba bezdin menicha moisto." You ignore that city. You only measure to the cities which do have a bezin. So Tosfos says, "We are my v'halom mitoch hakurva nirusha miyosu sheim ba bezin." Our Gemara says that the idea of ira kroiva lacholol is because that's a birah that the murderer came from that city, and the people in that city need a kapora. That's why after you kill, you do arifa Eglarufa, either you kill it. After you kill it, then the Kohanim say, Kapal Amchais Hashem Padis Hashem, Kapar Ksibok Kikotchen. Just like the Kohanim, Hamakrib, the Karbonis on the Beis Hamikdash, to bring about a Kapara, here it says, Kapar Ksibok Kikotchen. That's how the Gemara establishes that Eglarufa is also Bahano. The Gemara has a Machlokes. When does the Eglarufa become also Bahano? Mishas Arifa, Arifoso, Isroso, or Yuridosil and Nachalesan Isroso, when you start the mitzvah. When you go down to Nachalesan, that's Machlokes. When does it become Asa Bahano? So our Gemara appears to indicate the whole idea of Karev is that's a bureau that the murderer came from that city. So the whole Gemara in the Gemara there in Saita, the Gemara quotes a brisa. It doesn't make sense. You don't measure. Let's say Yerushalayim. You don't measure to Yerushalayim because the line is chalkal l'shvatim. You don't measure to the city Shein Bezdin. So you go to the other cities, but it's Karovah to Yerushalayim. So you have a beer that the murderer came from Yerushalayim. The Haruk was found Karov to the city that doesn't have a Bezdin. What do you mean you measure to the cities? So the other Gemara in Saita seems to, in Gemara quotes a brisa, seems to be assuming that the din of Korah is a Xeris HaKasu. It's not that it's a beer that the murderer came from that city. So what do they say, Kapal Amcha? What do they have to bring the Kapora? Very strange. If we, our Gemara makes more sense. We assume that Kurva is Mavar, the murderer came from that city, so they need a Kapora. Because the murderer came from this city, they're harboring a murderer. The Gemara says, how do you know that Eglo Rufa is at Machlokes? When does it become Asabano? Arifoso is Rasa, or Yuridosa la Nachalesa, that's Rasa, the beginning of the Kiyama Mitzvah. But they all agree Eglo Rufa is Asabano. How do you know it's Asabano? So the Gemara says, because the Kohanim, just like the Kohanim, are Makron Karbonis and the Beis Amigdush, and the Karbonis are Asabano, that's a Dinah Me'ilah, so to hear the Kohanim have to say, Kapalam Chisol, Asher Padisa Hashem, so Kaparik Sibo Kikotchim. So also as a din that it's also Bahano. It's not Hegdish though. Hegla Rufa is not, they're not Magdish. It's not a Korban. But since Kapar, Ksibok, Kikotchim, so that's how the Tanaim established that it's also Bahano. Whenever the Mishnais give you a list, the Mishnais rattle off a whole list of things that are also Bahano. At the end of the second parak in Kiddushin, says if a man is Mekadosh and Isha and he gives Shavik Kesev, it's also good. Yeah, he can be Mekadosh, he can be Kesev, a Bishtar, a Bibiya. And Kesev is either Kesev or Shova Kesev. That's the first daf in Kiddushin, based on Ben Aleph. Taisvus and all the Bishanim discuss how did Tanoim know that Shova Kesev ki Kesev? Sometimes Shova Kesev is not ki Kesev. Sometimes you need daf ki Kesev. And most of the time Shova Kesev is ki Kesev. So that first, on the first Mishnah, Taisvus discusses in Kiddushin, the first daf. How did Tanoim know that Shova Kesev is ki Kesev? So the Mishnah at the end of the second parak in Kedushin says that if the Avisura HaNoah, she's any B'Kodesh, because it's not Shavu Pruto. So he gives you a whole list of all the Isuri HaNoah. Same thing, the last daf of Masechus Temura gives you a full list of all the Isuri HaNoah, Kol HaTorah Kula, and divides them into two categories. Some Isuri HaNoah are min HaNisrafim, and some of them are min HaNigibarim. Sometimes you have a mitzvah to burn it. Let's say, Pigal Noisa V'Tome in the Beis HaMikdash. That says Saraktas on Oseba'esh. You can't just throw it in the garbage and they'll dispose of it. They'll bury it somewhere. You have to burn it. Or Chometz in the Machlaikas, but then be a Chometz of the Visrefa. Or by Orlok, by a Kerem, is Dafka Mitzvah Visrefa. No, they say, oh, no, just throw it out in the garbage and they'll dispose of it. The garbage collectors will dispose of it. So the Mishnah always puts together Egla Rufa is Osabana, but it's not Hegdish. It doesn't. The Rasha Mishnais quotes a Tosefta that there's pidyon by Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa becomes also Bano, so if you paid it becomes Mutta Bano. So the Chazanish says there must be a misprint. How can there be pidyon? It's not Hegdish. Abbasa B'cholov has pidyon. Why should I have pidyon? Hegdish has pidyon. If something is Hegdish and you paid it, says Yotze B'chol. But Egla Rufa is not Hegdish. He doesn't understand what that means. He thinks it must be a Tosefta. So Rash quotes a Tosefta. He thinks that Tosefta doesn't make. How can it be? There is no such thing. Anyway, so that's the plea. Our Gemara is beferish that the Ira Kroiva brings the Egla Rufa because we're Mevara that the murderer came from that city. So the people in that city are harboring a criminal. They have a criminal, a murderer amongst them, and they need a kapara. And the Gemara in Saito seems to the Tanoim in Saito. So tell it, here it's the Gemara. There the Brisa in Saito seems to contradict it. The Gemara says there in Saito, Afila Nira Balil. Let's say when the Bez Nagodol comes from Yerushalayim, they have to figure out which is the Ira Kroiva. It's a dead giveaway. It's mamish right on the outskirts of the city. We know which is the Ira Kroiva. So the Gemara, Afila Nira Balil, it's a Xeris Arkosav that you have to measure. It has to be the Ira Kroiva. So that doesn't contradict our Gemara. You can say that there are two dinim, that the Medida is a mitzvah. You have to do Medida in order to establish which is the Irak Reuven. And even though you know which is the Irak Reuven, Medida is a mitzvah. Okay, even near Balil, even if it's clear which is the closest. But the question is it only a chok? Is it only Medida? Is only a Xeris HaKosav? Or is it also, like our Gemara says, it's because the kurva is Mevara that the murderer came from that city. So the whole sugi is assuming that the pasuk, that's what the Gemara says, Vavha gavu ruba deraisa, v'kurva deraisa, v'lochi ruba odif, v'abchanina comes up with the chiddush. Roy v'korav, if they pull in opposite directions, so he thinks that Roy beats out korav. There are three possibilities. I don't know, the Tosfos over here only considers two possibilities. Tosfos over here, yeah, the Tosfos Lema, on Chof Dalin Amid Aleph, the Tosfos Lema, assumes there are only two possibilities. Either when Roy pulls in one direction, the Karav pulls in the other direction. Does Roy win or does Karav win? Why can't you say Shkulim? Why can't you say Shkulim? I don't know. Tosfos assumes that Rav Poshet that not. Why not? Maybe it's Shkulim. Yeah. Anyway, Rav Sugi assumes that the pasuk that says V'hoya ha'ir ha'kreva el ha'cholol has to be an Egla Rufa because we assume that the kurva is Mevarer, that the murderer came from that city. So that's why the Gemara asked the Kasha. But what if there's another city that's 100 times bigger than this little village? This little city is the Kroiva, but if you hold Roiv, the Kroiv, Holchamachar, Roiv is a better Birur. So the Kroiv should not bring the Egla Rufa. Yeah. Here, the Menhaskinah points out, on the mitzvah of Egla Rufa, he says he wrote his sefer over the course of a few years. He wrote the sefer, he didn't have a Tosfos Rid yet. It wasn't printed yet. And then he writes, after he wrote what he wrote there, then they printed the Tosfos Rid on Baba Basra, and he found that he was mechaven to what the Tosfos Rid says. When the Gemara says if you have two cities, one is Kroiv and one is Roiv, one is 10 times bigger than the other one, the Rav Chanina says, Roiv v'korav hoch machar ha-Roiv, does it mean that the city with the Roiv brings the Egla Rufa? Or it means, no, nobody brings an Egla Rufa. Because Korav is a Xeris HaKosav. You have to do Medida even if it's near La'ayin. Even if it's near Balil, it's clear which is the closest city. So it's not just the din of Birur, it's a Xeris HaKosuv. Or let's say you find a person murdered in the city. Not murdered, Kimat Zechol Badama, out at the outskirts of the city, you have to measure to the city. Let's say you find a person murdered in the middle of the city, in Eretz Yisrael. So does the city bring an Egla Rufa? So Menchas Chana quotes a Machlokes Achrayim about that. So some Achrayim say no, because he can't do Medida. Others say, no, what do you mean? You don't need Medida over there. He's in the city. What did we mean? The others say, no, it's like near a Balil. If it's clear which is the closest city, still the Gemara says in Saita, you have to measure. So you see, Medida is a Xeris HaKosav. You don't do Medida, even though it's clear which is the closest, you don't do Medida, you're not trying to bring Egla Rufa. So if the murdered man is found in the city, it's not shaykh to do Medida. Well, you got to measure too. There's nothing to measure to. So that you need Medida as a Xeris HaKosav, that everybody agrees. That everybody agrees to that. But So that's the Pashtus and Agamar. If you have two cities, one is Roiv and one is Karev, and the Gemara says, Holch Machar HaRoiv, so the Pashtus should be that neither brings the Egla Rufa. The Karev doesn't bring because there's no Bira that the murderer came from that city. And the Roiv doesn't bring because it's not the Karev. Karev is Exeris HaKasuv. It's a Chok. It has to be Karev. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch thought. And then he found that the Tosis Rid, after he wrote that part of his Sefer, he found Tosis Rid was printed during his lifetime. In fact, the Tosis Rid says like that on his daf. When the Gemara thought, Roiv v'kor v'holch machar ha-roiv, doesn't mean that the Roiv brings the Egel Arufa, neither brings the Egel Arufa. Because the Korib has to be both the Birur, that the murderer came from that city, as well as the Gzeres HaKosu, that you have to do Medida. Medida is Ma'akeh B'di'evit. Yeah. What do you do if you have Ruba v'chazaka? Roiv pulls in one direction, Chazaka pulls in another direction. So the Gemara in a few different places quotes at the end of Kiddushin and Yevamos and Echulin, quite a few places. That's a big machlokes of Meir and the Chachamim. The Gemara says, Rav Meir holds that Ruba v'chazaka is Shkulim. So it's a Sveika Adina. You treat it like a Safik. And we don't paskin like Rav Meir, we paskin Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba Odev. Roiv beats out Chazaka. Why should Roiv beat out Chazaka? So that's what the Pnei Yeshua writes this, and later Svarim also write the same, that Roiv we assume is a Birur, and Chazaka is not a Birur. Chazaka is just a Din Hanhoge. If you don't know what the facts of the case are, so the Torah tells us, we have Psukim, we learn out that there's a Din of Chazaka, status quo. We mentioned in the beginning of the year, the word Chazaka has six different meanings, so the Chazaka of status quo, that's the Machloikis, but the Ruba Chazaka, Ashkulim HaNat, so Rav Meir holds, Ruba Chazaka, Ashkulim, and we don't pass on like Rav Meir, we pass on Ruba Chazaka is Ruba Odiv, because Roiv is Mevar, the facts of the case. Chazaka tells you how to be Noig if you don't know the facts, but Roiv tells you what the facts are. So the Din HaNhog of Chazaka doesn't apply. And what is the Nekudas of Machlek Zameh and the Rabbanon? So the Gemara says, Rameya holds miyute command the isi domi. Rabbanon holds miyute command the leisi domi. What does that mean? Command the isi, command the leisi. So the Pashtus is, that the Machlekis is, what is the din of Roiv? Let's say I have food and it's a suffix if it's kosher. They went fishing and it's a suffix whether the fish is kosher or not kosher. And the odds are 85% likelihood that the fish is kosher. So Rav Meir holds that 85%, that's only a din hanhoga. If you have a miyuta, the miyuta. If you have 99%, if you have 98%, then the miyuta is against it, is a miyuta, the miyuta. Then the Gemara says on the first daf in Gittin, Rav Meir is moida, that loy chashina le miyuta. Rav Meir holds chashina le miyuta because he holds miyut command yisidami. What do you mean miyut command yisidami? The miyut is staring you in the face, and you can't say you have a bira. The miyut is staring you in the face, says, don't forget about me. So Roiv is only a din hanhoga. Unless you have only miyuta de miyuta, then it's a bira. And the Chachamim disagree. You don't need davka miyuta de miyuta. Even if you have a real miyut. Unless you have a miyut hamatzui. If you have a miyut hamatzui, then maybe the Roiv is not mevara. That's a question. But if you don't have a miyut hamatzui, it's a question, how much is miyut hamatzui? How much is miyut hamatzui? The Ramban has, we must have spoken about it, the Ramban has both in the Chidusha HaRamban as well as in the Mochamas on the bottom of the Rif, in the very beginning of Chumash, Ramban has the same word for word in the Chidushin and in the Mochamas, a lot of it is word for word, that whenever you have a Roiv, but there's a Miyut HaMotzui against the Roiv, so then you have to be Boidik. Let's say you buy vegetables, And these vegetables sometimes have bugs. So you have to check for the bugs. Most of the time, 60% of the time, they don't have bugs. 70% of the time, they don't. 85% of the time, they don't have bugs. But 15%, that's a miyut hamatzui. So then, if there's a 15% chance that you'll be eating a bug, then you will have to check, to do a bedikah. It's a question whether that din, whether the din that you have to be boidik when you have a miyut hamatzui, is that a din derais or din derabbanan? Ramban says it's only a din derabbanan. And others who adopt the Ramban say, no, maybe it's a real din derais based on a drasha from a pasuk. Well, what, that's a question. How much is miyotamot? So let's say I buy a suit that I have to check for shatnas. So what percentage likelihood is there that it's going to have shatnas? Or let's say when you shech the behema, there are 70 different trefas that are possible. And the kishkas and the heart and the legs, they're all over the place. So you're going to check for all the 70 trefas. You'll never eat any flesh. The Ramban quotes and medish, we only check for sirchas on the lungs. Why only sirchas on the lungs? Because sirchas is a miyotamotze. So that's a big question. How much is miyotamotze? So the Mishkanus Yankif is a tshuva sefer written by Rabbi Yankel Karlina. He learned in Volozhin. He was one of the earlier students that Rav Chaim Volozhin had when he founded Volozhin Yeshiva. So he wrote a knockout sefer, Shalosh Tshuvos Mishkanus Yankif. Very nice tshuvas, very strong tshuvas. He thinks that it's 10%. He thinks that 10% is miyotamotze. And that's what the Darkei Tshuva, when the Munkacha, Darkei Tshuva in Yerodea quotes the Mishkanus Yankif. Whenever you have 10%, if you have a bug infestation to the extent of 10%, so there's a 10% chance, depends how many portions of vegetables you're going to eat. If you're eating two portions of vegetables, even if it's only 5% chance, but if you 5% if you eat a smaller amount, but if you eat twice as much, then it's a 10% chance that you'll be swallowing a bug. But then whenever it's 10% chance or more, that's called the miyotamotze. Rabbi Yashiv thought that it's 7%, because the Ramban writes, he quotes in Medrash, that sirchas on the lungs are a miyotamotze. In an Eretz Yisrael for 150 years, they've been keeping records in the slaughterhouses, what percentage of the animals that they shech turn out to have sirchas on the lungs, and it turns out only to be 7%. In America, it's over 10%. America is over 10% of the animals that have sirchas. In Argentina, Rabbi Neuwirth, who wrote the Shmir Shabbos Kolchos, used to go to Argentina for the Rabbanut to supervise the Shechita there. They used to import meat from Argentina. They used to import from America, from Argentina. So Rabbi Neuwirth, Zecharon Levracha, used to go to Argentina to supervise the Shechita. He said that in Argentina, it's only 5% of the animals that they shecht have sirchas. But the medrash that the Ramban quotes about the sirchas, miyotamotze, you have to be bodek, medrash is probably not written in Argentina. We don't know when. Maybe it was written in Eretz Yisrael, so that's where Rabbi Yashiv says. Today, the last 150 years, it's 7%. So he thought that maybe the medrash was written in Eretz Yisrael, and 7% is enough to be called a miyotamotze.
When was the medrash written, though? Doesn't
that
percentage change over time?
It could be. We don't know. It could be. In America, we can understand because there's so many factories and the air is so polluted. That's why it's 14%. Rabbi Zolbetschik said he used to be mekel a lot. He used to give a hashgacha on a slaughterhouse in Boston. He used to be mekel all the coolest on the books and more. And he says he used to have 14% sirchas on the lungs that he couldn't be mekel on. So I guess the air is more polluted over here, yeah? We don't know when the medrash. Some of the medrashim were written in the days of the Rishayim in Europe. Some were written in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know.
Where does Mishkanus Yankif get the 10% from?
I think it's based on the Gemara in Bava Basra later. I don't remember though. I got to take a look. I remember years ago, Rabbi Avidan was a Rosh Yeshiva in Shalavim for a few years, and his daughter was suffering from some kind of cancer, and she was in Denver for treatment for a long time, so he was there, he and his wife were there for a long time. So he told me that he was reading the Sefer that I wrote about Rav Soloveitchik, that Rav Soloveitchik followed this Mishkanus Yankif, that is 10%, and he said, it's not halacha l'moshe m'sina, you only have to check for sirchas on the lungs. If there's any other trefus, that's 10% possibility, you have to be bodik for that too. Rav Soloveitchik said that in the springtime, the calves don't have seichel, so they graze outside. So they nibble on the fence, and the fence has nails, and they swallow the nails, and the nails, when it goes into the kishkas, it makes a hole. So he said that's also over 10%. So he insisted in his slaughterhouse that they should check in the springtime when they shech the calves, that he insisted they have to check for a nekev in the b'nei me'ayim, because that was also 10%. 10% and above, yeah. That's what I mentioned. I think I mentioned it, that when I visited once in Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim, so they were showing me a tour of the things I would be interested in. So they showed me they showed me a magnet that they put in the stomach of the cows that should pick up all of the nails. Apparently, the nail is not going to make a hole in the food pipe. It's wide enough that the nail doesn't make a hole there. It only makes a hole in the bnei me'ayin and the intestines. So if you put a magnet in the stomach, I don't know how they get it into the stomach, that they didn't explain to me, but they put a magnet in the stomach. So they showed me a magnet so big, brand new magnet, shiny, sparkling, pretty clean. Then they showed me a magnet that they left in the cow's stomach that picked up all of the nails on it, had a whole bunch of nails on it that stuck to it, and it was black and dirty because it was in the stomach and it had all the enzymes and all of the acid and everything was working on the metal. But it saved the animals from becoming treifus. Yeah. So the Gemara says again on the first daf in Gittin, the Rameir Chayish Lemiyuta. But if it's Miyuta the Miyuta, then the Rameir is not Chayish Lemiyuta. So that means Rameir holds if it's something like 98% Arayv, that's a Mevara. But anything less than that, when there's more than a Miyuta the Miyuta, even though it's not a Miyuta Motze, it's not 7%, it's not 10%. If you have a rive of 85%, Rameh holds that that's only a din hanhoga. That's not considered a bira. It's only a bira if it's a miyuta and a miyuta against it. And the chachamim disagree, and they say no. Just like Rameh thinks when you have miyuta and a miyuta, the rive is a bira. But if you have a rive garua, Tosis points out in a few mesichtas, you have a rive garua, let's say it's only a rive of 51% to 49%. It just made it by the skin of its teeth. So Tosis said that's not a bira. If you have Ruba Bachazok and the Roiv is a Roiv Garua, then it's Shkulim. Then the Rabbanon also say that Ruba Bachazok has Shkulim. It's 50-50. So why shouldn't it be a possibility over here that Roiv and Karib should be Machza Machza? If the Roiv pulls in one direction, the Karib pulls in another direction. Maybe Zinik is Suffolk. So that's, I don't know why. Tosis points out the Gemara assumes not so. The Gemara assumes either Rav and Karev, either the Rav wins or the Karev wins. But to say that it's Shkulim not, well, why can't you say Shkulim? If you have Ruba Bachazok and the Rav is a Rav Garo, you say that it's Shkulim. Just a Machlek Zameh the Rabbanan, which Rav? So Rameh holds any Rav that's less than that you have. If you only have a Muta, the Muta against the Rav, that rive is a beer. Anything less than that is only a din hanhog. And the Rabbanan say no, only if it's a rive garua, if it's a shvacha rive, 51%, 55% to 45%. Also a shvacha rive. But if it's a rive like 80%, so then the chacham hold that that's called a beer. So since rive is mevara and chazak is only a din hanhog, so the din hanhog only apply when you don't know what the facts are. If the rive is mevara facts, you follow the rive. That's the plain showing subas. Right? It's like that. Subas daf yod alef. The first parable, yeah. So the Gemara learns that from that parsha. Oh yeah, here akroiv alahal. They measure. Modad the ahar mashal svibas alchol. You measure, and korav is a bira. That's what the Gemara assumes. Korav is a bira. So that's a shaila. If you have roiv contradicted by korav, which bira beats? Which bira wins? Roiv is a bira, and korav is a bira. So which bira wins? So the Gemara suggests that at one point maybe it's Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel on Daf Chavdal and Amar. But Rabbi Chanina says that Roiv is a better biru than Korev. Tosis points out the answer, a whole bunch of kashas, and then Tosis keeps on introducing this in the whole answer, Hasugya. The different kinds of Korev. if you find food in a house, so you was a goy's house. You find the cookies in a goy's house. The stomach of the tray for cookies. That's a karav de muchach. Then there's a karav de lo muchach. Let's say I find a box of cookies closer to a goy's house than to a Jew's house. So does it really? I find it in the street. So it's, if it's in the goy's house, that's one thing. If it's on the goy's porch, that's a karav de muchach. He probably, that's a home baked cookies, not purchased in the store. Purchased in the store, maybe the goy bought the cookies that have a hechsher on it. But if it's a home-baked cookies, so if you find it on the goy's porch, that's a korb de mucham. Some they bake the cookies. But if you find it in the street and happens to be closer to the goy's home than to the Jew's home, so that's not such a gevaldig gepirim. That's a korb de loy muchach. So that's what Tosa says. Maybe there's a difference over here. Maybe roy v'korv holchem achar haroiv. Maybe that's only if it's a korv the loy muchach. What if it's a korv the muchach? Then maybe the korv beats out the roiv. Maybe machzah. I don't know why they ignore that possibility, but they say there's room to distinguish between the two. So they keep on introducing that svar lachalik between the korv the muchach and the korv the loy muchach. Yeah, let's see the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Nipol hanimtza b'toch hamishim ama." I find a little gozel. Rashi says, "I find a little chick within 50 amas of the shevach." Somebody has he's raising little chicks, and within 50 amas of the shevach, someone else is roaming around out there, and he finds a little chick. So he has to give it. Harayev shel bal ha-shevach. You have to give it to the owner of the shevach. We assume that it came from his shevach. What if you find a chutz mechamisha mama? You find it 51 amas away from the shevach. Then we assume, the Gemara says, there are different kinds of gozolas, of birds. Rashi has, there's a gozol that's mafriach, if it's able to fly. So it can fly very far away from the shevach, much more than 50 amas. We're talking over here, it's medade. It's a little chick that they can't fly yet. It's too young to fly. It just wobbles around. It's medade. So a medade will only be medade up until 50 amas. So if I see that there's a chick that's wobbling around more than 50 amas away from the shevach, so how is that possible? It can't be. The Gemara says it can't be medade even 1 inch past it. That's what Tosa points out over here. Kol midas chachamim kachim. That's the last line of the Tosa. Valdo avkula Rabbi Yirmiyah mebei midrasha. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the shayla, and they were annoyed by him. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the shayla. Mishnah says, if I find a chick within 50 amas to the shevach wobbling, so we assume it wobbled from that shevach, and you have to give it to the owner. Hashavas aved. And if you find it 51 amas away, then you have a right to keep it. Why? Because it didn't wobble from there. It must have flown. It can't wobble 51 amas. So it must be that it flew. So if it flew, it could have flown from anywhere. Could have flown from Hefker. Could have flown from a goy's farm. A goy's farm is Nochri Bashavas Aveda for Nochri. If it's 51 amas away from the Shevach, we assume that it's a goy's alam afriach already. It's not a gozel hamadad, it's a gozel mafriach. So then you go basa ruba diyal. Yeah, that's the Mishnah. So Tosis is bothered with a kasha. What do you mean? You paskin and didim ominous based on a roiv. You paskin and didim ominous based on a roiv. Then ruba diyalma, are goyim, or hefker. So therefore you have a right to keep it. What happened to the din in hochba mamon achar a roiv? So Tosis says, no, in Hochma Mamon Acharav only applies to Mimotzi, for the top Tosis says that. The answer is obvious. In Hochma Mamon Acharav only goes Kineged HaMuchzok. If someone is holding on to money, we learn that from a Pasuk, there's a concept of Muchzok. And therefore we have a din based on that Pasuk. The Gemara in Bava Kama, Daphne and Bava and Beis learns that from a Pasuk. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, 40 days and 40 nights, so he told Yeshua Ben Nun, in case anybody, Moshe Rabbeinu would sit there, min ha'yom ad min ha'boker ad ha'erev, and take care of all the dinei Torah. Now what's going to be? He's going to be on top of Har Sinai. So he tells Yeshua ben Nun, if anybody has a din Torah, they should come to you. Mi badvarim, yigash aleihem. They should go to you and go to the Chachamim, and they'll pass on all the dinei Torah. They shouldn't say, Moshe Rabbeinu is not here, so I can do whatever I want. I can go to Goy Shekut. You're not allowed to go to Goy Shekut. You have to go to Jewish Bezin, even if it's not Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though it's not the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world, you have to go to a Bezin. So the Gemara understands from that pasuk, Mi Baldram Yigash Aleim, Yakish Raya Aleim. that I'm moitzi mechavera all of harai. If you want to be moitzi mamet from a muchzok, you need a raya alimta. You need all of harai with the hey hayadia. It doesn't say I'm moitzi mechavera all of harai. He has to prove that it says all of harai with the hey hayadia. That's where Abshimon Shkop quotes this from the Trumas Adeshin. But he was such an honest person. We don't sit and learn Trumas Adeshin today. The Shach sat and they learned in the days of the Achrayim, the early Achrayim, they used to sit and read Trumas Adeshin. Nobody reads Trumas Adeshin today. Most people don't have in their library Trumas Adeshin. So Rav Abshimon Shkop was so honest. He writes, he was looking in the Kesef Nivchar. Kesef Nivchar is a sefer on sugyas. In Europe, in the yeshivas, used to give shiurim on sugyas. So let's say, if in Europe we would be learning this sugya, we would go to all the gemaras and shas about Ruba Bachazoka and Rav and Karib. We would learn all this. We do that a little bit, but not as much as they used to in Europe. So there are a few svarim that they print in Europe. So one of the svarim is Kesef Nivchar. He has sugyas listed alphabetically. Enisa Chalalisa is going to be Aleph. Asmachta Lakanya is going to be Aleph. Whatever. Every letter he has famous sugyas. And he quotes all the Gemaras and all the Rambams and all of it. And there's a difficult Rambam. Every so often there's a problematic Rambam. So he'll quote the Lecha Mishnah, the Mishnah Melech, someone asked the Kasha. He'll quote up until the Merkevus HaMishnah. After the Merkevus HaMishnah, he doesn't quote. And he'll quote. So Rav Shimon Shkop, instead of just saying the Trumas Adeshin, says this word, he says he was looking at the Tesef Nivcha, the Tesef Nivcha quotes the Trumas Adeshin. He was so honest, he had to say that he found it in the Kesef Nivcha. I wouldn't have been so honest. I would have just wrote. People know I don't read the Trumas Adeshin. So they would understand. I picked it up from this. I could be the Talmud Ditta, wherever I picked it up from. But the Reb Shimon Shkop wrote, he saw in the Kesef Nivcha that they quote this word that the Trumas Adeshin says. Where does this din come from? Is it Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel? Whether Holchem Mamam and Achar Harav, can you be Moitzi Mamam from the Muchzok if you only have a Rav? So we pass an Ein Holchem Mamam and Achar Harav, why not? So the Trumas Adeshin says, because he learned that from a Pasuk, Nibald Ram Yegeshalem, Yagish Vayaleim, Amoitzi Machavera, all of Haraya. So the Gemara's Lashon is all of Haraya, but Hei Hayedia, it means that you need a Raya Alimta. So the Gemara says, it's talking about the Basa later. Mamba Basa has Amoitzi Saperis, I think. Amalechad Paris and Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. So we paskin ain halchem mamen achar rav. Rav is not good to be moitzi mamen from a muchzik. Where is it? Here, Tzadik Beis Amar Aleph. The first daf in Amalechad Paris. So the Gemara has on the top of Amalechad Paris. Shmuel Amalach. We paskin. Rav Shmuel, whenever it's usually the psak, whenever there's machlekes Rav Shmuel, so when it's a machlekes in Isa Vehetu, usually Hilchus Kerabi Yisuri, Kishmo Bedinim, that's a Gemara Mechavis. So this is Dinim Amenus. Here we pass on like Shmuel against Rav Shmuel Amalach. Ki Azina Basa Ruba, when does the Torah say Acharam Lahatas be Yisura? And Isa Vehetu, you can lie and roll. But by Mamain Aloy, in Amenus, you don't go Basa Raiv. So Tyson says, it means to be Moitzi Mamen from a Muchsar. But by Hashavas Aveda, let's say I find an Aveda. I don't know whether it belongs to the... I find the Shtar. Shtar Halva. I don't know whether the Malva lost the Shtar or the Loiva lost the Shtar. If I give it back to the Malva, he's going to make the Loiva pay. If I give it back to the Loiva, he's going to rip it up. I don't know who lost it. So whenever you have to do Hashavas Aveda, no one's Muchzik on the Aveda. I picked it up. I know it's not mine. I'm not Muchzik. I know for sure it's not mine. You're only called Muchzik if you're holding on to something. It's Tachas Yotcha. And you taina vadai that it's yours, at least you have a taina shema, that maybe it's yours. If you're not for sure it's not yours, so you're not a muchzak. A muchzak with a taina shema, that's a machlekes hatanoim, whether that's called a muchzak. We paskin that it is. That's machlekes simchas in the chachamim. The simchas holds a muchzak is only called, it's only called a muchzak if he has a taina bari. If he has a taina shema, it's not called a muchzak. We don't paskin like simchas, but it's the first half in Bob Metzia. So we pass from like the Chachamim, then a Muchzik, but the Tanah Shem is also called Muchzik. But if the Maitzi HaVeda says, for sure it's not his, he knows for sure it's not his, he just doesn't know whom to give it back to, so then you go Basar Raiv. Or if the Raiv says that it shall have Kershom Nochrim, then you have a right to keep it, because you're not taking away, you're not being Maitzi it, we are a Muchzik. That's the first place, that's the Poshe Pshat. Everybody agrees to that Tosfos. That's not a, it's not a breakthrough. It's not a chiddush of Tosfos. That is the din. The Reb is kaveh whether there's a mitzvah of hashavas aveda or not, and to whom to give it back to. Yeah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah had a suffolk. He raised a suffolk boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah. What if the goizel, you found a goizel 50 amas away from the Shoibach, with one leg, the goizel has two legs, one leg is within the 50 amas, one leg is out of the 50 amas. What's the din? So, whenever the Chachamim give a shir, let's say, why do you need aboim sof or a mikveh? You need maim shekol gufa ila behem bevasachas. A little baby can fit into a mikveh of 20 saw. You don't need 40 saw. Let's say you megayir a little baby. So what do you need 40 saw? It's only a tiny baby. It can be toivel a baby in 20 saw. Let's say if a person is giant, like Oig Melech HaBoshen, he's not going to fit, and he's very fat and very big and very tall, he's not going to fit into a mikveh of aboim saw. He's going to need much more than aboim saw. So why do you always say that you need aboim saw? So that's kol midas chacham kachi. That's the din. Since an adam beinani, an average person, you need mem saw. So if you toivel on a mikveh less than mem saw, it's considered as if you didn't have maim shel kol gufa oil behem bevasacha. So here also the chacham gave a shiur 50 amas shine. Kol midas chachamim kachi. That's the loshen agamara in other mesichus. So that's what Tosfos says over here. That's why they got upset. That's why they got angry at Rabbi Yirmiyah. Because whenever the Chachamim gave a shear, that's the shear. You don't clear what if it's a half an inch off. Half an inch off, so it's not. So they kicked him out of the base medrash. Then the Bach was nice enough to tell you, look later on, Daf Kuf Samachay, on the base, the Gemara says when they took him back into the base medrash, they sent them shailas. They had to send him the shailas because he was thrown out of the base medrash. They knew how to learn. So I guess he was learning at home. So the Gemara said they sent him either one shaila, another shaila. They sent him some kind of shaila or another, and he gave a good answer. So they said, okay, he knows how to learn. He gave a good answer. So they took him back into the base medrash. The Gemara's not sure what shaila was it that he gave him a good answer. He was humble. When they sent him the shaila, he was humble. He said, "Eini kidai shatem shalachtem li." He says it's, I'm not that learned that you should send me the shaila. Elakach das talmidechem, talmidchem noite. I'm your talmid, and I think the din is like this. So the Gemara says, "Valdo ailu the Rabbi Yirmiyah beimedrash." They liked the answer that he gave, so they allowed him to come back in. But the reason why they threw him out is because whenever the chacham give a shir, let's say if you put the menorah, the ma'ale master mama says lo shalta bein lo seinat yotz. So someone's going to declare, what if it's 20 amos and an inch? Call me this chacham kachi. Whenever the chachamim draw a line, you have to, every halacha, you have to draw a line sometime. You have to be arbitrary. Call me this chacham kachi. So he was wondering about it, so they got upset. There's an issue in the Kol HaTorah Kula. You always have to draw a line. You're going to leave the halacha every single case. You're going to judge whether it is shol tebein or lo shol tebein, so there won't be any halacha. But Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva years ago, there were religious Jews who came to America and they used to work on Shabbos. They used to daven at the first minyan on Shabbos. They used to daven at the first minyan. They never came to the second minyan because they had to go to work. I remember once there was a fellow, he only showed up on Yom Tovim. He used to get an aliyah and he always made a mishaberach for the Gera Rebbe. Must have been a Gera Chassid in Europe. And I used to go to school with his MTA. I used to go to yeshiva with his son. My sister used to go to Central with his daughter. And I never knew why he's not around. So I thought he's probably divorced from his wife and he comes visitation on Yom Tov. I didn't know what was going on. And then one fine day, he shows up in shul on Shabbos. He gets an aliyah, makes him sheberach v'ger Rebbe. And he says, Bavur Shanodar, he's giving kiddush because he just became a shomer Shabbos. He finally switched his job and he was able to get a job. That he doesn't have to go to work on Shabbos. That's what he used to be years ago. So Moshe Feinstein writes, what's the din? Does he have a din? Mechal Shabbos befahese dina ka'akum? That you can't be mitzar from to a minion? That is chitos and avela. He wasn't a sheikhet, he was in business. You're going to say you can't be mitzar from to a minion. So Moshe says, gah, that's not. He makes kiddush and he davens. He davens on Shabbos. Because of parnasa, it's not permissible. But The whole reason why Machal Shabbos prefers Hedina Ka'akum is because when you observe Shabbos, you demonstrate, you publicize that you subscribe to the story of creation. So that's an Ovid Avodah Zarah doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in the story of creation. So it doesn't help if you believe in God. You have to believe that God created the world and He's the Balabas over everything in the world. So Machal Shabbos Dina Ka'akum, because Rashi explains like that in Chulan Daf Hei, because he's demonstrating he doesn't believe in the story of creation. Here the fellow makes Kiddush on Friday night, and he davens on Shabbos morning. He feels he has no prayer. He can't say Dina Ka'akum. So Rav Soloveitchik didn't like that. Rav Soloveitchik didn't like that. He said, then you take the halacha, you got every case you're going to judge. Esher Mama Lo Shalta Be'ena, maybe it is Shalta Be'ena. That's called Midas Chacham Kachi. He didn't like Rav Moshe's condition. Al Shabbos Pasadina Kakam is Alocha. That's the whole idea of the Alocha, that the dinim should not be judged every case subjectively. You have to have an objective standard all the time. Kol Midas Chacham and Kachi. Rav Moshe holds that that's what the word Befarhesia means. Chal Shabbos, not Chal Shabbos Dina Kakam, Chal Shabbos Befarhesia means he's breaking the discipline of the community. So this guy is not breaking the discipline. That's included in the statement of the din is not a loy plug. That's why it says b'farhesya. Farhesya means that the Gemara says in Erevin, let's say the fellow is not embarrassed to be Mechal Shabbos, but when the chief rabbi walks by, he's carrying something, so he'll hide it. When the chief rabbi walks by, he's embarrassed that he should catch him carrying on Shabbos. The Gemara said that's called Mechal Shabbos Betzina. Why? Because he knows that it's not right. He knows he's doing wrong, and he's embarrassed to be Mechal Shabbos b'farhesya. There's a fellow who lives in my building. He graduated yeshiva, but now he's not observant. Now there's an Erev in the neighborhood, but I don't even know if he knows there's an Erev. I don't know if he goes to shul at all. But so before there was an Erev, you weren't allowed to carry. So a lot of times I would be in the yeshiva on Friday night, speaking after the meal, and then I would come home. It would be 11:30, 12 o'clock, so we didn't have a key, so we had to wait outside till someone would open the door. So this fellow would come, he had the key in his pocket, he wouldn't open the door in my presence. He would walk around the block, and it's a gigantic block, so it would take him around 10 minutes, longer than 10 women. And if we're still waiting in front of the door, he would walk around the block again. He wouldn't want me to see that he's Mechal Shabbos. That's not called Mechal Shabbos b'farhesya. That's called Bitzin. If he's embarrassed to be Mechal Shabbos, and I'm not the chief rabbi, but the Gemara has Mechal Shabbos. If you're embarrassed to be Mechal Shabbos, and the president said, the Nasi, the chief rabbi, that's not called b'farhesya. That's what Moshe's psak is based on. That's included in the word b'farhesya. What Rav Soloveitchik said is correct. That's kol midas chacham kachi. Halach always has to have a loy pluk. He can't judge each case, he's going to judge individually. But over here, Moshe also, that's what the phrase means, b'farhesya. Okay, so let's see again the Gemara. Amar Rab Chanina, he says, when you have a conflict between Rav and Korev, I would have said shkulim. So he doesn't say like me. They didn't ask me. They asked Rab Chanina. So Rab Chanina says that the Rav min wins. Rav b'korev hoch machar ha-Rav. Yeah. Dosis points out, it's Mishnah's like that. Bryce is Mishnah. What do you need Rab Chanina for? So the top Tosis says, the Chiddush is that you don't need Trei Rubei. Once in a while you have a Chumra in the Gemara that you need Trei Rubei. What do you have? The Gemara says, Milo Asa Biyuchsin. That's in the Mishnah, is at the end of the first parak in Ksubis. Unfortunately, this happens all the time. Let's say a Jewish girl in Eretz Yisrael is raped in a park. And she doesn't know whether the raper was speaking Hebrew, but the Arabs talk Hebrew also. And she doesn't know whether the man who raped her is Jewish or a Nochri. If he's a Nochri, she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. And if she's married to a Kohen, even though she was Nenso, she has to get divorced. And Eshishish and Nenso, Hilon is Pasa, if Eshishish is Nenso, she's a Mataris Levila, provided the husband is a Levi or Yisrael. But if the husband is a Kohen, even Eshish Kohen Shen Nenso, she's considered a Zaina, and a Zaina Asur Ala Kohen. Or she's nivula l'akum. Let's say she's single, she's nivula by goy, and nivula l'pasal apsala, she's asura to marry a kohen. So you don't know whether the man who was ma'anis her was a Jew or a nachri. So you go basa roiv. So let's say roiv of the people in this park, let's say, are Jewish. They're Jewish gangsters also, unfortunately. They're Jewish rapists also. So if you're right, but the people are Jewish, so you really should be Mekel. So the Gemara says that my loss of Yuchsan the Meir Chumra, with respect to Kohuna, that the Kohen should have to divorce his wife, or if she wants to marry a Kohen, that you need Trey Ruby, you have to have a double Rav. You need that the Rav of the people who live in the city, rather the men who live in the city are Jewish. Let's say she knows what age he was. He was between the age of 20 and 40. He wasn't younger than 20. So you have to figure out, right, with the people who live in Yerushalayim between the age of 20 and 40, you're not going to count the people 65 years old. The man who was Manasseh wasn't 65 years old. He wasn't 80 years old. He was between the age of 20 and 40. And you don't count the children either. What's the Rav of the men in the city between the age of 20 and 40? Are they Jewish or Nachrim? So you should have been able to be Mekel on that. So I mean, the Rabbanim, you need Trey Ruby. You need Rav of the men who live in the city between the age of 20 and 40 are Jewish, and Rav of the tourists that day, that night that she was raped in the park. Rav of the tourists who are visiting in the city are also Jewish. So you have a Trey Ruby, then you make. On the level of the Raisa, it doesn't make sense. If you have a Rav, you have a Rav. So Chumra mid the Rabbanim, my loss of the Yuchsin. And the Gemara says, only by Yuchsin. Here, we're not talking about Yuchsin. So that's what Tosis said. Does that pshat make sense? That's where Pchanina's Chiddush is. We know from Bryce's that Roy Bekor of Holchamacher HaRoiv. But from the Bryce's, one might have argued the point and said, it's only Mutter if you have a Trey Ruby. Rav Chanina tells you that you only have Chad Ruby. So does that make sense? It's only my loss also be yuchsim when you get to marrying a kohen or remaining married with your husband as a kohen. There you have these chumras in each trei ruby. Where else do you have trei ruby? In recent last 100 years, we have a concept of the trei ruby. In another case, the Gemara has a kula. The Gemara has a chumra by agunas, heter agunas. The Gemara has a din. Let's say a woman is married and her husband fell into the ocean and he drowned, but we never retrieved the dead body. But he's clearly dead. He didn't come up. We were there, we were searching for him, and he's clearly dead. We don't know where he is. So the Gemara has in the end of Yevamos, the Gemara talks about a lot. That's called Maim Shein Lahem Sof. Maim Shein Lahem Sof. If a person drowns in a little lake, sometimes the lake is not deep enough to drown. So he's not going to drown. But let's say it's a lake that's deep enough to drown, but it's Maim Sheyesh Lahem Sof. The witnesses will stand on the side, and they can see all the edges of the lake, and they stand there for half an hour. How long can you hold your breath? You can't hold your breath too long. So the witnesses were standing there. He drowned in the lake, and he never came up in a half an hour. And they can see all the edges of the lake. So that's called Maim Sheyesh Lahem Sof. So Maim Sheyesh Lahem Sof, we know he's dead, so his wife can remarry. But if it's Maim Sheyesh Lahem Sof, it's a river, the ocean, and you don't see all the edges, you don't see all the borders of the river, the ocean. So there's a far-fetched possibility that maybe he swam under the river and he came up far away past your eyesight. You can't see the edge of all the edges of the river, all the edges of the lake or the ocean. So that's a chumim with the Rabbanan. Maim Shein Lahem Sof, we're machmer. So there's a sefer called Shadash Shetuba is Beis Yankif. So usually whatever, one of the early Achrayim, so usually whatever he says, they don't agree. Usually they disagree with the Beis Yankif. So here, the Beis Yankif has this kula. He says, when are you machmer, Maim Shein Lahem Sof? Only if there's one roiv. But if you have a double roiv, if you have trei rubei, then there's room to be mekel. So for many years they ignored that Beis Yankif, like they ignored all the other things that he has in his shoes. Usually they don't accept his opinion. And then the Mishkanes Yankif, what we mentioned before, learned in Volozhin. He was one of the earliest Talmidim of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. So he wrote in his sefer, he has another sefer, Koheles Yankif, a thin volume collection of tshuvas. The longer tshuvas he has in the Mishkanes Yankif, then he published that sefer later, Koheles Yankif. So he has a tshuva he remembers as a teenager, as a young teenager, that there was a man in Volozhin who was walking on a bridge, crossing over the river. The bridge was very high above the lake, and it was in the middle of the winter, so the lake was frozen over. And a lot of times here in America, the lake freezes over, you can drive a tractor on it, and it's not going to crack in. The ice is so thick, you're not going to fall through. So the man slipped on the bridge, and it was a couple of stories above the ice on top of the lake, and he fell head first. When he fell down, he fell with his head first, and his brain crashed into the ice, and then he fell through. And they couldn't, and the whole lake was covered with the ice, so they couldn't retrieve the body. So he says, Rav Chaim Valojana was Mekel based on Trei Ruvi. One rive is that most people who fall head first from three flights above, or 10 flights above, whatever it was, head first on concrete, that if head first on ice that people can drive a car on. So most of the people will be killed because they'll lose their life because of the concussion in their brain. And even if he didn't get killed because of the cracking his head on the ice, but then he drowned under the water and there's no way to come up because the whole lake was iced over. So he writes, Rav Chaim Valojana was Mekel, he remembers. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes this. Pischei Tshuva quotes this, that the Mishkan of Yankee wrote in his Tshuva that Rav Chaim Valojana was Mekel. And Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan is famous for that. He also paskened the same. Yes, Rabbi Yitzchak has a lot of volumes, separate volumes on Heter Agunas. So that's his. He's known for that kula, the kula of Trei Ruvi. They use that all the time. Let's say there was an airplane crash. There was an explosion in the air, and most of the time when someone put a bomb on the plane. So if there's an explosion in the air, most of the time the passengers will get killed because the whole thing will catch fire. And then it crashed into the ground, and then even if they didn't get killed with the explosion, they'll get killed because of the impact, because it crashed into the ground. So that's also Trei Ruvi. In the Israeli army, whenever they have a melchama or something, so unfortunately there are a lot of agunas, so usually they make a lot of agunas, usually it's going to be a Trei Ruvi. With submarines and all this kind of thing. You always had Trei Ruvi. So that's my loss of the Yuchsin. That's what the Chuvah's Beis Yankif claims, that that's the Chumrah of Maim Shein Lamsof. The Chumrah was that you require Trei Ruvi. Just like the Gemara only says you need Trei Ruvi by the girl who is Nensa in the park. You don't know who the Ma'anis was. They need a Roiv Ha'ir and Roiv Ha'Sia. Most of the tourists who are traveling in the city are Jewish, and most of the people who live in the city between the age of 20 and 40 are Jewish. And need a double rive with respect to an Eishes Ish, and then so she's married to a Kohen. If she's married to a Kohen, even then so by Yisrael is Asur Labayla. But if she wants it, she's single. If she wants to marry a Kohen, then you have to ascertain, was she Nensa by a Nochri or by Yisrael? Nensa by a Nochri, she's Asur Lakuna. That's a Dina Nivala L'Apostle of Psalm. So an atar would have been enough with a chad rube, but the Gemara says you need trei rube. But the rabbanim shem gzeira. Tosfos quotes on the last narrow line, and the Tosfos rov gekarav halacha acharei. So they say, looking subas daf tesvav, the Gemara gives a whole explanation why they made gzeira the rabbanim. Why need a trei rube? My loss of yuchs. So we assume in the last 150 years, we assume that maim shein lamsof also. They didn't ask a period. I'm saying I'm soft. They only asked if it's chad rube. If you have trei rube, then you make. I'm saying I'm soft means, let's say there were certain death camps, concentration camps, where hardly anybody ever survived. So let's say the husband, we know the husband was in that concentration camp, but we know what happened after the war. Maybe he survived, but it's a slim chance. So that's the same bit as Maim Shein himself. It's a far-fetched chance that he survived. It's interesting, there is a Gemara, the first daf in Yuma. The Pasuk says, when a person is Tomei, he has to go to the mikveh and he becomes Tohar. Sometimes you have to wait Shivanagim. Sometimes you have to wait till you go to the mikveh. Sometimes you can go to mikveh the same day, he became Tomei. But usually a person is Tomei, he goes to mikveh, he becomes Tohar. If a person is a Tomei Meis, he cannot become Tohar all by himself. He has to first have, he's a HaTohar al HaTomei. You have to have Poraduma water. You have to have ashes from a paraduma, mix it with, in a container with water, and then the hisa tohar ala tameh, an odom tohar has to be mazan mi shlishi shvi, 2 days, and then I can go to mikvah and become tohar. But I can't go to mikvah mayom. First I have to have somebody else, hisa tohar ala tameh. So that word, the hisa hatohar, is spelled tes hei resh, without a vav. So the Tanoim, we have a tradition that the whole Torah, the whole Chamish Shulchan Torah, was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word and letter for letter. So that's one of the Midrash HaTorah Nidresh HaSpan. The Gemara learns that dinim, when the fact that the word is spelled sometimes Molei, sometimes Chaser, like the word Na'aro, sometimes spelled Nunayin, most of the time spelled Nunayin Resh in Chumash, once in a while spelled Nunayin Resh Hei. So the Mark Silvis learns out of din, how come sometimes it's spelled with a Hei, sometimes without a Hei. So here it says, V'izah HaTohar, Allah told me the word Tohar is missing a Vav. Normally it's spelled Tes Hei Vav Resh, here it's spelled Tes Hei Resh. So it means he's incomplete Tohar. Even though he went to Mikvah, but he's still a Tful Yom. He's not allowed to eat Trum until Harav Shemesh. But that's enough. A Tful Yom is acceptable to do Hazor Shlishi Shvi. And the Tzedukim, is Man Bai Sheni, the Tzedukim didn't accept any of the drushes of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So they were Machmer on this. So they held that you need Dafke Muravi Shemesh. The Tvuyam can't be Maza on a Tome, you need a Tohar Legamre. So the Chachamim didn't accept anything that the Tzedukim said. They had a tradition. He's a Tohar, Tohar called Dehu, because it's spelled with Chosavav. He doesn't have to be complete, even though his Tahar is incomplete. Like the letter Vav is missing, so his Tahar is incomplete. So to demonstrate that they don't hold from anything that Tzedukim say, even Lahachmer, so whenever they would make a paraduma, there would be metami the koin hasorif esapa, they would make metame, and then there would be maza hazor shlishi shvi, and then they would have the one who would do the hazor shlishi shvi, he would do it bedafke when he's a tful yom, to demonstrate that we don't accept even the chumras from the tzdukim. Lekula is lekula. They went out of their way. But then the Gemara says, then Rashi explained, Gemara doesn't say, then Rashi explained the first daf in Yuma, that because they felt compelled to introduce this kula, to demonstrate that we don't accept anything from the tzdukim, even the chumras, you don't gain anything by me, machma, they're wrong, everything they say is wrong. So the chacham were afraid that this practice that they had every 100 years or so, every 75 years, when they made another paraduma, historically made 9 paradumas. And Lo Silova, when Mashiach came, going to make the 10th paraduma. The Mishnah in Parah lists off which were the 9 paradumas that they made. First one was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, and the other 8 were made in later generations. So in order that it shouldn't convey them a mistaken impression to the onlooker, that the whole issue of Tumas Meis is a light Inyan. You don't have to be so makbid about anything. That's not true. The Chama felt compelled to be mitame, the kind of service of Parah, to be mitire him, to show that it's okay to have them do it as a Tvuyam. They were fighting with the Tzdukim. So, but in order to show that the Taharas Hameis, Tumas Hameis, Taharas Hameis, a very serious issue, so they introduced a lot of Chumra. So they had a wild Chumra that... when you make a paraduma, you have to use only clay glolim, clay adoma, clay. What are the other ones? Clay adoma, clay. Avonim. Clay avonim, clay glolim, clay adoma are the 3 types of materials that are not mekabel tumah at all. So they use dafke kelim that are not mekabel tumah. And then they had another chumra that they would ask pregnant women who wants to volunteer to give birth to the baby in a tiny little area in Yerushalayim that's 2 blocks by 2 blocks. And they'll raise the child there, they'll give birth there, they'll raise the child for the first 8 years. We may need him for paraduma. Most of the time they didn't need him. They made a paraduma every 100 years or so. They didn't make it every other year. So they would have women who wouldn't volunteer, Noshim Tzidkanis, they wouldn't volunteer to give birth to a baby in this area, that an area in Yerushalayim that they checked did absolutely no Tumas Meis. They know for sure no Tumas Meis. So they would have the women give birth there, raise the children on the possibility, far out possibility, the odds are 99% that the kid is not going to be used to make Paraduma. And then, if they're going to make a paraduma, they're going to have these kids draw the water from the Mayan, rather than have an adult who may be Tomei. So they had these kids who were raised in this area from the day they were born, their mamish tahir. And then they would have them ride on top of a big fat cow with a board on the bottom, so in case there's tumas meis below them, the tumas meis shouldn't be metalin them. Wild stuff. Why do you introduce all these wild chumras to raise these little children, to use only little children who cannot be Tomei Balkari, and this little area, 2x2 blocks? Why such a... So Rashi explained, because they felt compelled to make the kula to be metam the kaina surface apart to demonstrate against the tzdukim. So they felt compelled to make chumras to balance off the kula, that everyone should know that tumas meis is a serious issue. So the Achrayim say the same is true regarding heter agunas. In the days of the Tanoim, the days of Rabbi Akiva, the Romans were putting Jewish men in dungeons, right and left, and the women wouldn't know if their husband was alive or dead. They wouldn't know where they put him in a dungeon, and they would die there from starvation. They would die from malnutrition. So if you would have, it was very rare that you're going to have 2 8. We were happy if you have 8 echad. So that was a big debate in the days of the Tanaim, at the time of the Roman persecution. The Hikar HaDinya should really need 2 Adim to say that the woman's husband is dead. That's a Dovish of the Yerba. Dovish of the Yerba needs 2 Adim. So Rabbi Kiva said, he has the tradition from the earlier generations, Heter Agunas, you can rely on 8 Echad. That's a question. Is that a Din D'Oraisa? Is that a Din D'Rabbanan? Most assume it's only a Din D'Rabbanan. It's not on the level of D'Oraisa, you really need 2 Adim. So how can it be that, what do you mean, a level of Rabbanan, we're Mekel on the Din of Lasinov? So there's a whole literature on that topic. The Nadi Yehuda quotes the Pnei Yeshua, they were in the same generation. Nadi Yehuda quotes the Pnei Yeshua during his lifetime was known as a major Poisek. But historically, he didn't write Sifrei Psak. He went out of history as a Baal Pilpul. He wrote a Sefer Pnei Yeshua to show the public not only is he strong in Psak, he knows how to say Pilpulim also. And a contemporary of his was Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz. So Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz, during his lifetime, was known as a big Baal Pilpul, but he wanted the public to know that he knows how to pass Mashalos also. So he wrote the crazy place here in Yeridah, and he wrote the Ur Metumim, Machosh Mishmot. So historically, in history, went down as a big Pesach. But during his lifetime, he was not known as a Pesach. So the Nadi Yehuda, a few times, he quotes Kvahera Ezok, and he says, the Pnei Yeshua Paskin the Din, and we follow the Psak of the Pnei Yeshua. So he quotes that Pnei Yeshua came up with a Chiddush that Eid Echad is Neman by Meis Pailo, it's a Din D'Oraisa. Most assume that it's not a Din D'Oraisa, not like that Pnei Yeshua. He has a Sifrei, he says, that the Heter Eid Echad is Neman by Meis Pailo is a Din D'Oraisa because the Sifrei has on the Pasuk in the verb, Lo Yokam Eid Echad Be'ish L'chol Av and L'chol Chattis B'chol Chet Asher Yechta. That's psukim in Dvarim. So it says leyachem erechad beish. So the Sifrei has a comment leyachem erechad beish. Avul beisha kam erechad is neman by isha. So the Pnei Yeshua understood that to mean others have a totally different interpretation, nothing at all to do with agunas. But the Pnei Yeshua understood that to mean that that's the marker that erechad is neman ben haTorah by Meis Pailo. The Gemara gives a whole discussion. Doesn't sound like that. No, Pnei Yeshua says the Gemara was explaining why they weren't machmer mid the Rabbanan. Why weren't they machmer mid the Rabbanan? That you shouldn't rely on this. That's what he says. But most say not so. So it was a big debate in the days of the Tanoim. So Rabbi Kiva had a it was such a big shas hadchak. A lot of times you would be happy if there would be an Eid Echad who's going to testify that Meis Pailo. So the Psak HaMekubo was like Rabbi Kiva. The Mishnah tells that the Romans put Rabbi Akiva in prison and they killed him because he was teaching Torah in public. And the Tanoim wanted to ask him shailas and learning, so they would walk in front of the prison and they would talk out loud in code so the guards wouldn't realize that they're talking and learning. So the Mishnah says that this is Mishnah Yevamah. Said that's one of the didim that Rabbi Akiva told them over from the prison in code that Eid Echad is Neman by Meis Pailo. He had a tradition from the earlier generations. So the Chachamim said, this is what the Achrayim write. The Chachamim felt compelled to be Mekel on Eid Echad because most of the time when a man would die in dungeon, in the dungeon where the Romans threw them, there wouldn't be two Edom. For sure, there wouldn't be two Edom. You would be happy if there'd be an Eid Echad. So they felt, if you're going to be Mekel no Eid Echad, by Meis Bailo, it should have been a Dovah Shabbat, it should have been two Edom. If there'd be Mekel Eid Echad, so people would think that the Yisrael is Sinef. The Yisrael is Yisrael Zinzo. It's a light Yisrael. You don't have to be so medactic. So they felt compelled to put something on the books that, to offset that mistaken impression. So they wrote down on the books that then that Maim Shein Hamsof, you're not Matad Haz. But they didn't really mean to Asa Maim Shein Hamsof. They just meant you have to work harder till you find a head, until you find Trey Ruvay, or till you find some other Tzad L'Hokam. Instead of giving a head there in 2 hours, you should work a couple of weeks till you come up with a head. Maim Shein Hamsof. That's how a few Achrenim write like that. Just like Rashi wrote in the beginning of Yuma, that they introduced the chumras by Por Aduma, the little kids. The pregnant women give birth in this tiny little area, and you only use klei glolim, klei avonim, klei adoma. Why do you introduce these wild chumras by Por Aduma to offset the kula that they felt compelled to introduce? To be metami the kohen ha'sreifas ha'pora, that he should do this reifas ha'pora in a state of being a tful yom, to fight against the tzdukim. So here also, they introduced the chumra of Maim Shein Hamsof to off. They never really meant to ask the woman. They just meant it should take longer to be mekel. You should have to come up with it. Usually when you matam an aguna, they write long chuvas. That was what the Chachamim wanted. It shouldn't be easy to be matam an aguna, but they didn't want to be machma though. So that's what these Acharonim say, that's what the Beis Yankiv wrote, and that's what Rav Chaim Volozhin held. If you have Trey Ruby, then you mekel on the Maim Shein Hamsof. That's a Psak HaMekubal. That's Rabbi Yitzchok Chonon. So that's what Tosis suggests over here. Maybe that's what Rav Chanina meant to say over here. Roy v'korv holchem achar haroiv. We know that anyway from the Brice and Ksubis. And after Zvab. So what do you need Rav Chanina to tell him? Tosis said, the Brice one could have insisted that you have Trey Rube. But now Rav Chanina, that's what he meant to say, that you don't need Trey Rube. Chad Rube is enough. Either Trey Rube is only my loss of Beyuchsin. Well, why should you think over here? The Tosis kvetches. I might have thought that you could make a mistake. There's room for a Havamina. So that's the Chiddush Reb Chanina. You don't need Trey Rubi, you know, Chad Rubi is enough, but it's really based, the din of Trey Rubi is only my loss of Yuchsin. It's only by Yuchsin, with Kahuna. That's the Gemara in the first parak in Ksubas. Unfortunately, that issue comes up all the time. Girls are raped in the parks in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. So they have to work out any given day. If you don't know who the man was, whether he was Jewish or a guy, it's the fact that he speaks Hebrew could be an Arab. The Arabs also speak Hebrew. I had this story a couple of weeks ago. A woman married an Arab and she thought that he was born a Jew. She was from the Syrian community. The Syrians don't even let you marry a ger. So she was led to believe that her husband was born a Jew. Then she found out after she was married that he was a Palestinian, so she had to run away. They wrote up the whole story in the newspapers. It's hard to tell. And they said, it's hard to tell. If all the Jews would have long payas and wear yarmulkes, you would know who's a Jew. But there are Jews that don't have long payas and they don't wear yarmulkes. So it's hard to tell who's a Jew and who's a Jew. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. So Rav Chanina comes up with the din, Rabbi Korv Holchem Achar HaRoiv. So you don't say shkulim hefelach. Rubadif roiv is better than korv. Vasa Rab Zera. Rab Zera is not so happy. Why? Pasuk says the chumash v'ayirak roiv alacholol. The city that's closest brings egla rufa. Vavagav diikachrita dinafishimene. Even there are other cities. There are other cities that may be bigger than this city. So why do you say the irak roiv brings the egla rufa? No one should bring egla rufa, according to the Tosfos read. According to others, not like the Tosfos read, the roiv should bring. Pashtus is like the Tosfos read said, what the Menchas Chinuch figured out on his own. It means that neither should bring, because korev is exeris hakosim, afila nire ba'alil. For sure you need korev. The shaila is, you need two aspects to korev. The korev should be mevara that the ritzia came from that city, and also that he did the medida to that city. So the pashtus and the kasha was avgav diikachrit and the nefishim minei. Not that the other city should bring. No one should bring egla rufa. Everything more b'deleka. Maybe the pasuk only is talking about a case that there is no other city in the area that's big. But It could be that someone else murdered him. There's so many other people. The din of Egla Ruf only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So in most cities in Eretz Yisrael, there are tourists at any time. There are tourists from all over the world. So the odds are that the murderer, they put more people, the chance that a tourist killed them is a Ruba di Alma. And for the Gemara, Relays about a Ruba di Alma, maybe the murderer came from somewhere else. Maybe the only time you have a din of Egla Rufa is if, see, there are certain cities in Eretz that they, that tourists go to all the time. The Christians will go to Bethlehem, whatever. Yerushalayim doesn't bring Egla Rufa. Okay, so Yerushalayim is out of the run. So there are certain cities where the tourists go. There are certain cities, only the Jews know about those cities. No one ever, no tourists ever go there. So there's nothing to see there. It's not a tourist site. So that's what the Gemara says. Is if they measured to the Akrev Avachalo, and that Akrev Avachalo is Yoshev is Bein Ahar. It's a place that nobody ever goes to visit there. So there is no hardly anybody. Only archaeologists are going to go there. But there's no Ruba di Alma. The Reva, the likelihood is that the murderer came from this city. So then you bring the Egla Ruf. So that's the problem with the Rambam. The Rambam quotes the first one with the Lekka. He says the Ira Kreva only brings an Egla Rufa if the other cities that are nearby are not bigger. But then he doesn't quote Yosheves Ben Ahar. So that's what all the Achranim is, kind of the Rambam. He only quoted half of the Gemara, didn't quote the last line of the Gemara. So that's a major problem. So then the Gemara asked the Kasha from the Mishnah, our Mishnah, Tanan, if you find a little chick, Nipola Nimtza B'Torcha Mishamama, Hareyushal Bala Shevach. Why? Because it's within 50 Amos to his Shevach. So Kurva is Mevarer, that he's the owner, and you have to do Hashavah Saveda to the Bala Shevach. Maybe there are other shofchim have more birds. His shevach has 500 birds. Maybe another shevach has 5,000 birds. That's further away. So why do you give it to the person who has the shevach that's closest if the other shevach is bigger? And for the Gemara, Bidaleka. We're talking about a case that, you know, Ihochif, Bidaleka, there's no other shevach in the neighborhood. So why does it say, Chutz machamish mama harei shalmotza? Why can he keep it? Bidaleka, if there's no other shevachim. So Vadamahu Nofel, no other choice. It must have been from this one. And for the Gemara, no. We're talking that the bird is medade. But if you find it within 50 amas, we assume it was medade, and it's only medade up until 50 amas. And there's no other bird coop, there's no other shevach within 50 amas. So it must have come from this one. But if you find it, Chutz l'chamisha mama, so obviously it's not a medade. It looks like it's only wobbling. Look like it doesn't have the ability to fly. But how come it's in 60 amas away from the shore? Must be that it's not a medade. It's a mafriach, Rashi says. Oh, mafriach, then it could have come from Ruba di Alma. So then, if it's Ruba di Alma, so either it belongs to a nachri or a tefker. You have a right to keep it. Aveda sakam, there's no chi of hashav. You have a right to keep it. That's what the Gemara answers. And for the Gemara, that was the kashvi, the leko, if there's no other shevach nearby that has so many more birds. So vadamahu nofa, of course it came from that. So you have to give it back even if it's 51 amas away. Gemara says, koke medade, and the birds are not medade more than 50 amas. Okay, then the Gemara continues toshma. Maybe we'll save this for tomorrow. Toshma, 5 lines from the bottom. Okay.